We're so glad that you're at the Lord's house this morning. Going to spend some time worshiping the Lord and sharing and singing and worship and praise and studying God's word. And we're so glad that all of you are here. Maybe somebody's out in the parking lot. Maybe others are listening this afternoon on the website. And we're glad that each person has joined us today at Barbie's Grove. It's good to be in God's presence. May we pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, the name at which every knee bows. Every knee bows, and we thank you, Father. And we know that you're here. We've been promised that where we gather in the name of Jesus, there he is in the midst. And so we know that he's here. We want you to know that you're welcome here. Yes. You're welcome to say whatever you want to say. You want to speak to our hearts. We open our minds, our hearts, our spirits to hear from you. Yes. We want to make a commitment that we'll listen and then do whatever you say to us to do. Father, it's so good to be in your presence. Father, you know the needs of each person that's gathered in this sanctuary, anybody that's in the parking lot, those that are listening later on the website. Father, we know that you know. And so, Father, today, through what takes place in this service, meet those needs. Bring them to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
So this morning we're going to stand together and sing Great is Thy Faithfulness, and I can't let that slide by. That is Miss Nell's favorite, I know. And I know Kathy will be asking her and letting her listen to the service later on. So Great is Thy Faithfulness, and it's on our boards, but if you want to turn in your books, it's 54, and we're going to sing all three verses. So stand with me.
Oh,
As you notice, Leonard is not here this morning. We appreciate Tonda leading the music today and in his absence. And he's taking care of his wife today. She's been sort of under the weather, so he's taking care of her today. And so you pray for them. Again, we welcome you. So glad that you're here. Remind you, choir tonight or this afternoon, 6 o'clock, choir practice. And then, of course, Wednesday's Bible study. And we've been into prayer for a couple of weeks now. We're having a good time. I'm having a good time. I think some of the class is having a good time, most of them. So we still invite you to come and be a part of what we're doing on Wednesday night at 6:30 as we study about prayer. Next Sunday would be our communion Sunday. And we want to just remind you that we'll be celebrating our Lord's death as we do celebrate communion next week. You know, we do serve a faithful God. He is a wonderful, wonderful God. He answers our prayers. He keeps his promises. Sometimes we begin to wonder because it takes a little longer than we want. You know, I'm one of those people that I want patience and I want it yesterday. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I'm surprised she didn't jump up and say amen, amen, amen. But anyway,
he's improved greatly.
But you know, the Lord is gracious to answer our prayers and to keep his promises. Any other announcements we want to make?
Yes, the Sunday school this year for the adults, senior adults right here on this front, you distribute them out to the other classes. Double check behind me, make sure I've got the right literature in the younger class. That's one I was a little bit, I think the church worship for the children's service is in there. Make sure it's in there correctly.
Okay, so you adults, be new literature for next week, so be sure, or the week after that, so be sure and stop and pick up a quarterly as you leave. Any other announcements? Prayer list. I've got there's a big printed one there in the bulletin. But also Angela Frick, as she starts undergoing treatments for her condition. Ron Honeycutt, a liver transplant and problems after surgery. The family of Adam and Wayne Farmer, Kay Lawrence, who's a business associate of Leonard's, Frida Honeycutt, Rosina's niece. Trying to read this writing here. Rosina's niece.
And Tony's niece, too.
And she's Tony's niece, too. Okay. Charles Hatley, who's still undergoing some tests. Rodney Urey, who's Oakboro Fire Chief. Any update on him, Jeff?
I didn't talk to anybody at the end of the week, so I'm not sure about him.
All right. Shirley Edwards, said her doing a little better with some new medication. Pray for her. Pray for the folks up in Haywood County. You know, that's where I pastored before I retired. And I was telling the folks Wednesday night that the church is high. They just went in there and just chopped off the side of the mountain and put the church in there when they went from an old broken down schoolhouse to a church building. Problem was they didn't do anything to shore up the bank behind where they chopped it off. And so when I was there and had the 2004 flooding, that bank just came on and piled up against the church. And, well, this time it did the same thing, and water and mud into the fellowship, the fellowship hall and Sunday school education wing of the church. And a lot of bridges out. Several people have died. They're still looking for some other folks that they can't find. A lot of homes ruined. So Pray for those folks up there. It's a miserable situation.
Yes.
Any other prayer requests? I know someone mentioned during Sunday school.
Ed.
Yes. Need prayer for Nick, family in Nicole Johnson. My niece.
All right.
Also, her son, James, is, we really need to pray for him hard because he is losing his faith in God, you know, he took his mom and such a good thing.
All right.
We also, my wife, she's got shingles, she's also got strep in her bladder and trying to run back and forth and keep everything going and keeping grandma happy and all. It's a balancing act that she is really under a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do pray for Kathy.
Yeah.
I understand that shingles is not fun. All right, somebody else.
Janice, put her back on prayer for them.
All right. Janice Williams. All right. Janice Williams with some hip issues and an MRI next week.
Family not very little.
All right. And do what?
I said keep me on the prayer list. I can see a New York surgeon tomorrow.
All right. Eva Ann. Tony's got some tests coming up in a day or two.
I have a praise report on Tammy Hamilton. She's on the list. Please keep praying. Her next goal is to be able to stand on the floor next week. Next Thursday will be 1 month in ICU with COVID. But she's able to sit up for 15-minute intervals, and she is hoping to put her feet on the floor next week. So keep praying. We're making baby steps.
Okay.
So we're so thankful. She and I are the same age. So this has really put her down. She's never been sick in her life. So, yeah. And away from home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Y'all continue to remember Ronnie Lauder. We're meeting today and start to benefit for him.
All right. Ronnie Lauder.
Holler next to my chicken place about the end of next month.
Okay.
Richard, y'all had to put my brother on the prayer list, but just remember him. He was in a wreck Friday, so he's pretty banged up.
Okay.
What's his name?
Alan.
Alan
Linker. Alan Linker is in a wreck Friday, sort of banged up. Anyone else? All right, let's pray together. Fathers, we bow before you this morning. I'm just thankful for your omniscience. That you know everything. You know, it says in the Bible, you know the number of hairs on our head. You notice a little sparrow that falls. And Father, there's this host of people that we've mentioned. All of them with physical needs or emotional needs. One perhaps in the possibility of losing his faith because of what's transpired in his family's life. The stresses, the strains, the troubles, the difficulties. Father, you know all about it. But Father, I'm even more thankful for your love and your mercy and your grace. For Father, it wouldn't matter if you knew but didn't care. But to know that you know all of these needs and all of these pains, and that you care and that you love, is a blessing. And Father, then also to know, that you care, and that you have the power to intervene. So, Father, I pray for each one of these, each specific and special circumstance, each person, that today you will show up at their hospital room, their home, wherever they are, and suit a blessing that they specifically need. Father, we know it's your will to heal, and so, Father, we pray for healing. We pray for physical healing, mental and emotional healing. We pray for spiritual healing where there are those that need Jesus. Father, we just bow our knee at your feet and proclaim that you are Lord over every situation. And Father, today, do some things that's going to bring glory to your name, that are going to cause people to say, wow, look at what God did. You receive all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
So the choir, as we practice, my house is full for homecoming, we also dusted off Come Morning, which is another beautiful, beautiful song. I always remember Aunt Sally sitting over here singing it with us. All those that remember Aunt Sally, this was her favorite, and we thank Brenda so much for again joining us. Again, with that boot and the inability to do just exactly like she wants to on the organ, we thank you for being present. It sounds great, so we're thankful for whoever. But Come Morning, if you remember it, sing along with us.
Sure. Where heartaches
Thank you, Tonda and Brendan, the choir, for blessing us. Those of you that get my newsletter or our newsletter electronically should have gotten it yesterday, and hopefully you've read it. Those of you that get it in paper, you may not have had it yet, but I talked about praying for Afghanistan. There's just such a great need. I mentioned praying for our brothers and sisters in the Lord, Christians. You know, the word has already gone out to those pastors. We know who you are and we're coming for you. It's quite possible, and they're not doing underground church, most of them. It's quite possible that they're church members that left this morning going to church. They're about 8.5 hours ahead of us, so, you know, it'd be about dark there now, I guess, or 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Church members that left home thinking, we'll never come home again. They're pastors that thought, this may be the last sermon I ever preach. And it's not just, it's terrible there, but you know, there's a recently we got word from I think it's Iran, that there's a certain church where as soon as a man is called to be pastor, the Muslims execute him. And you think, well, nobody wants to be pastor there. Just the opposite. Men are lining up saying, I'm next. Knowing it's going to cost their life. It's serious. How committed are we to Jesus? When we stand beside of those folks in heaven, and they say, what did you suffer for Jesus? Are we going to be embarrassed and ashamed at how shallow our commitment was? We need to be praying for the women and children. The Taliban don't treat ladies right. They're ugly. They're mean. We need to be praying for all of the folks that helped the Allies, interpreters, and so many others. Their lives are at risk. There are thousands that want to get out, and some may or may not. We need to be praying for the Taliban. That God will save some of them, or all of them. I mean, you know, the same God that had a little encounter with the Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus and turned him into Apostle Paul can do the same anywhere in the world. We need to be praying. Because it really is going to make a difference in what happens in our world. Now, riding over here, Pam looked at her phone and said that 31 American soldiers were killed yesterday.
In Afghanistan.
Anybody else see that? I don't know, just something that popped up on her phone. So, it's a serious time, and we as Christians need to be serious. Now, I think that sort of ties in with the message that I have this morning. And it also ties in with the Sunday school lesson that Kenny just finished teaching. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible teaches faithful church attendance. Let me ask you, if you thought when you left home this morning, it'd be the last time you'd ever leave your house, how many of us would be here? If I thought standing in the pulpit to preach would cost me my life, would I still be here? I'd like to think I would, but it's a scary thought. Now, I realize there are times when physical health and family situations prevent a person from being in the Lord's house. I think about my mom. I bet she didn't miss 10 Sundays in 50 years. But when Dad got bedfast, she stayed and took care of him 24/7, 365 days a year for about 19 months till he passed away. And then after he passed away, she was right back there every Sunday. There are times when truly we can't be at the Lord's house. But you've heard the argument. Well, now, preacher, I can commune with God while I'm sitting down at the lake with my fishing pole. You ever heard that one? I can commune with God while I walk through the woods. I can commune with God sitting on my deck with my cup of coffee. And we need to do that. But there's something that's to be said about communing with God with one another. And I want us to look at some reasons why God said, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. I don't think God was trying to be controlling or manipulative. I don't think he was trying just to be hard to get along with and all that kind of thing. I think God had some reasons. And I want us to look at some of those. The first is we need to get together to worship. We need to get together to worship. Look at Psalm 94. I believe it is. Psalm 95. We need to get together just to worship. Now it's true. You can sing. You can worship. You can praise God by the lake, on the deck, in the woods, in your living room, sitting in your recliner, and you ought to. Oh, I love to sing in my truck. Windows up. I love to do that. Occasionally, I'll sing a little bit when my wife's around, but I usually try to keep my singing just to me. Me and the Lord, me and the Lord. Because I know he understands. He gave me the voice I've got. And so he understands. We need to do that. But there's something about corporate worship that makes a difference. In Psalm 95, notice what he says. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalm. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Notice there, he uses the word us. Come let us sing. Come let us worship. Come let us praise. When you come and join together with one another in worship to the Lord, not only do you worship him, but you become a blessing to your brothers and sisters. Now, there are times when I'm not the preacher and I'm just sitting in a pew participating. And we'll be, you know, be a time of singing and worship, and I get blessed just listening to my wife's sweet voice. And if I happen to glance over there and see the joy in her face, that's a blessing. Over all of these years as a pastor, sometimes just standing here where I watch the congregation worship, and I can see it on the faces, it's a blessing. The psalmist says, let's come together and worship. Come together and worship. The last few verses in the Sunday school lesson that Kenny taught, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and melodies and spiritual songs, blessing each other and worshiping the Lord together makes a tremendous statement. And God knows when he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, what a blessing we can be to one another as we worship him corporately. Another reason that God said what he did is found in Acts 2:42. These new Christians, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. One of the things that's so important together is hearing the Word of God taught and preached. Now, I know you can hear the Word of God on TV, radio. And nobody, most people aren't going to say it, but somebody's probably, maybe not here, or maybe so, I don't know, thinking, preacher, if you want to be the honest, brutal truth, I can hear better sermons on TV and radio than from you. That's probably true. That's probably true. But is that TV preacher going to be standing in the aisle when the service is over when you come up and say, preacher, I didn't get that point. Would you explain that to me a little more? It's amazing, you know, over the years, somebody in the aisle, out in the parking lot, come by the office the next day and say, preacher, I didn't quite get all of that, or I disagree with that, or would you explain that to me a little more? So that the Word of God is clearly understood. And you see, that's what the New Testament Christians, they were, at least in this part of Acts, they were Jews and they knew the Old Testament. But it still said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in listening to the word of God. They wanted to know. They wanted it to be explained. And then if you were to look later in the book of Acts, you find that Paul went to the school of Tyrannus and spent a couple of years, at least a number of months, explaining on a regular basis the word of God so that the people knew what was important. You see, God wants us to get together so that we can hear the word of God. Now, God also wants us together so that we can be a blessing to one another. Now, that was the title of the Sunday school lesson. I'll use the phrase mutual edification. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14 to start with. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying. Now, turn with me over to the book of Romans, chapter 1. And Paul's, as he's introducing himself to the Roman Christians, in verse 10 he says, making request, if by any means how at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. And I love the way that's said in the Passion Translation. My desire and constant prayer is that I would succeed in coming to you according to the plan and timing of God. I yearn to come and be face to face with you and get to know you. For I long to impart to you some spiritual gift that will empower you to stand strong in your faith. Now this means that when we are come together and are side by side, something wonderful will be released. We can expect to be encouraged and co-comforted by each other's faith. Doesn't that sound great? Paul says when we're side by side, we are co-encouraged, we encourage one another. Co-comforted, we comfort one another. And we build up each other's faith. You know, you think about it for a moment. How many ways we do this? Preaching the Word of God. Teaching the Word of God. Singing. And there's some of you sitting there saying, well, that leaves me out. I'm not the preacher, I'm not a teacher, and I'm not a singer. But you know how many times you bless somebody just by the question you ask in Sunday school? The comment or the insight that you add in Sunday school? By the encouraging word you give to somebody standing in the aisle or out in the parking lot? By the question you ask. And it may not even be a spiritual question. You may ask about somebody's family, somebody's friend. And they're sitting there hurting. Wonder, does anybody care? And you ask the right question. How many times will we get together? Does your handshake or your hug be a blessing? Over the years, I've known many a person that The only hug they ever got was on Sunday morning in the Lord's house. Widowers and widows. Single men, single ladies. And the only place they ever felt loved was in God's house. And Paul says we come together and we encourage one another. We comfort one another. That's one of the reasons the Lord said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And especially, he says, as the day's coming in, you know, as we draw nearer to the Lord's coming. It's so important. There's one other that I want to mention that goes back to the way I started this morning. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 12. We won't turn there, but you remember Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, what? I will acknowledge you before the Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before the Father in heaven. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 11, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Victory comes how? Through the blood of Jesus. Through our testimony of acceptance and walking in the blood of Jesus. And our commitment that we love Jesus, even if it costs us our life. Now, I began by talking about the Afghan Christians who love Jesus enough that they're willing to die. And because of that, I'm told, okay, let me back up. And I mentioned the Iranian pastors who were being, as soon as they were elected pastor of this church, were being put to death. And men lined up. The two fastest growing countries of Christianity in the world today, Iran, Afghanistan. Isn't that strange? Now, you're not going to see that on CNN. You're not likely to see that in any news that's secular. But the two fastest growing Christian communities in the world, Iran, Afghanistan. Why? They love not their lives unto death. They're saying, Jesus is all important. Jesus is the one that matters. Jesus is the one that died for us. Jesus is the one that gave his life for our salvation. He deserves everything. He deserves it all, even if it costs me my life. And you see, when the lost and the secular and the unbelievers are out here and they see, here is a group that is so committed to Jesus that testify, I love Jesus more than life itself. They're saying, you know, there must be something to this Christianity thing. There must be something powerful in this Jesus. And they're attracted to the commitment, and they're attracted to the Jesus they sense and experience in this commitment. And so if they left home this morning, knowing it might be the last day that they lived, that was a testimony, I acknowledge Jesus before the world. And Jesus said, I'll acknowledge them before my Father in heaven. I'm glad that right now we don't face death for following the Lord. But folks, if America doesn't turn around, we will. It's fast heading in that direction. There are Christians that are being arrested, pastors that are being arrested for preaching against the political correctness. And as it goes on, we could face it. Did you know the Afghan Christians are praying for America that we'll wake up? That we'll really, really, really fall in love with Jesus? Let's be serious. From the time God called Abraham until this very hour, it's not been popular to follow the Almighty God. Jews were hated and are still hated. And when Christians came after Jesus says, don't be surprised, guys. If the world hated me, it's going to hate you. But then Jesus says something else. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You ever read a novel and get to wondering how it's going to come out and you flip over and read the last 5 pages just to make sure? Hey, read the end of the book. We win. We win. We win. Look again in Revelation 12, verse 10. Well, let's see. Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Wherefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Hallelujah. You win. If you're a committed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you win. He's on the throne, and we'll be there eternity. As I pray so often, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I encourage you to be more committed to the Lord Jesus. Be more committed. Pray for our brothers and sisters in those persecuted countries. They're praying for you. You pray for them. And don't be ashamed. If they can be ashamed to the, if they can be committed to the point of death, surely we can be committed. Put your bow heads and close your eyes. Is there anyone here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If you would, just come on down. If you need to come to the altar for some other reason, would you come? Father God, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. Father, I don't know how many of them might have died this morning for their faith or been arrested. Father, I pray for peace, for protection. I pray that as Daniel was protected in the lion's den, that you've protected them. I pray, dear Father, for the women, the children. Lord, your divine protection upon them. Lord, for the thousands that helped our troops or friends. And for the Americans and others that are there trying to get out, I pray for protection. The American military that's there and other Americans that are part of the rescue operation, I pray, Father, that you'll be with them and protect them. Father, I do pray for the Taliban. Lord, that you'll thwart their devious and evil schemes, that they'll have divine encounters with the risen Lord Jesus that will so shock them like Paul was shocked on the road to Damascus, that their lives and their hearts will change. And instead of evil, they'll become good. Instead of haters of Christianity, they'll become rabid followers of Christianity. Pray the same for ISIS and some of those other groups. And Father, I pray for us here in America, those of us that love the Lord, may we be bright, shining lights in a dim and dark world. Lord, help us to have the courage not to be ashamed of Jesus. For Lord, you love us so much. You love us so much. May we love you as much in return. Bless this congregation, those that might be in the parking lot, those that are listening on the web. Bless them with your presence. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace in the name of Jesus.